the New World Report with Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society. I'm John Batchelor, and I go to The Economist reporting. This is London reporting. 60 protesters were charged with public disorder following the protests of the summer of 2021. The protests were about food security, and they were dominated by young people. Miguel Diaz-Canel, the president of Cuba, that is what The Economist says, and I'll follow the reporting, has told the press, quote, there are no political prisoners in Cuba. He said that. That's a quote. There are, in fact, more than 800 at the end of 2021. And what's going on now is a series of closed trials of these young people and their supporters. They're being charged with public disorder, resisting arrest, robbery, sabotage, sedition. Joseph, Miguel Diaz-Canel does not seem to be held responsible by anyone in the hemisphere. Who's the audience for making remarks like there are no political prisoners in Cuba? Who listens to that?
You know, unfortunately, I don't think that it's a message designed to really convince anybody of a blatant lie, but it's a false narrative that they're trying to install to basically build another argument down the line. And this is kind of equivalent, I'd say, to like when the Iranians leaders would say there's no homosexuals in Iran. Like, they know that no one's going to really believe that, but they're linking with a bigger narrative that allows them to project their power in different spheres of influence, mostly within their international alliances. So, we know that there's political prisoners in Cuba. Obviously, the NGO reported that there's at least 800 by the end of 2021. And this is increasing because of the protests last year that were really never fully, the Cuban regime was never fully held accountable for its crackdown on the protests. Neither was the AMLO government ever held accountable for support of the communist dictatorship in Cuba. And so because there wasn't any costs imposed on these authoritarian actions, we're seeing more authoritarian actions. And that's now coming in the form of bigger and more intense crackdowns on the protesters and judicial proceedings under trumped up charges. I think one of the things that we're seeing a little bit different in terms of the crackdown that's happening now, in terms of the persecution of the protesters, is that it's not just going after the well-known dissidents and the well-known activists that are pretty well-known in terms of their defiance to the communist regime, but we're seeing it also on people that would have historically supported the communist dictatorship, such as school teachers and such as doctors. Doctors and school teachers have been a big part of the communist dictatorship of Cuba's efforts to somewhat project a level of legitimacy in Latin America. But it looks like even they aren't good enough to survive this next round of crackdowns, because it seems that they're also being persecuted by the communist regime.
What is the opinion of the punditry? Were the protests of the summer of 2021, were they effective? Is the regime rattled? Is there a general opinion of how the regime is conducting itself?
I think the general opinion that I've heard, at least here in Washington, has been a missed opportunity on behalf of the Biden administration and others in the region, because it was the Cuban people's loud attempt at trying to create a message that would have reverberated worldwide, which is a message of freedom, a message of liberty. But that message was getting distorted among different actors in the international community that would say, no, this is more about the vaccines. They need more vaccines. Or this is because they have food shortages, which all those things were obviously components. But the real reason and the real message that was behind the Cuban uprising that happened last summer was that they're just tired of the dictatorship. That this has been too long. The local conditions have gotten worse. And even think people like school teachers and doctors who historically have sided with the Cuban Revolution are now distancing themselves from the communist regime. I think this comes after the death of Fidel Castro. And then obviously now that Raul Castro is very much in his last legs. And so in that, I think the international community missed an opportunity to really support the Cuban people. The Biden administration did very little other than trying to restore access to the internet and provide some open pathways for remittances. But that was really just too little. They should have condemned the Cuban government. And as I called last time, more than condemning the Cuban government, they should have actually gone after the external supporters of the communist regime. And in that case, it would have been AMLO and Mexico, who was providing quote unquote humanitarian support to the Cuban military.
A happy story. I told Joseph The Galapagos are the happy story of the moment. This is a treasure of the solar system. He's been there. He's been to the Galapagos National Park. The news from Ecuador is that the president, Mr. Lasso, is expanding the reserve by 50%. Joseph, take us to the Galapagos. You've traveled there. What is it that you experience as a visitor to what is now historically the fundamental way we think of mankind? This is the father of evolution on the Galapagos. What did you see?
So Galapagos is probably one of the most attractive and beautiful tourist sites in the entire region, the entire continent of Latin America. It is a kind of like an oasis of ecological wonders, like all kinds of plants and vegetation that you really wouldn't find elsewhere, even different species. I remember the most prominent ones, what they call the blue-footed booby, which is it's a bird that's very rare, and you could find it in the Galapagos. But it's also a income generator for the Ecuadorian government. The Ecuadorian government's tourism ministry does a lot of work at preserving the Galapagos and does a lot of work at promoting it to the tourist industry. And because of that, I think that they have looked at creating it as a revenue stream also to help the government maintain some of its costs that are associated with this type of ecological preserves. So it's a beautiful area in off the coast, in the Pacific coast of Galapagos. But I'm happy to hear that President Lasso is going to expand the territories around the Galapagos. That means it's going to be open to more tourism. But I think part of the reason he's doing this, and it's going to sound a little darker, is because in that territorial waters, they're having more problems with what's called illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing. And unfortunately, most of that illegal fishing is coming from China.
Yes, well, we're looking at aid from the outside, too. Germany's announced $70 million in aid. Other countries are participating, working with Chile and Peru. They're expanding it considerably, the fishing waters, as you say, and also more square kilometers. What I know is that the Galapagos are protected now, unlike other parts of Latin America where there's great risk. The Amazon of Venezuela, for example, is reported being plundered now by gold mining and bad actors who are ignoring the environment. So the Galapagos, President Lasso, one of the good guys of Latin America, is doing the right thing by protecting even more of Darwin's treasure chest. Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society. The Border Wars is the new video from Joseph to learn about Russia in Latin America. This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.